This is the Goalkeeper Roundtable, hosted by Dr. Bill Steffen, with co-hosts Jeff Shook, Dave LaTourette, and George Costellis. Welcome back to the Goalkeeper Roundtable. For episode 10, we gathered up four NCAA goalkeepers, male and female, from Divisions 1, 2, and 3. We had a great chat that explored how all four of these goalkeepers have managed and continue to manage their training and especially their attitude during the long layoff with no matches during this pandemic. We knew these four were all great goalkeepers, but in this discussion, we realized that they are all great people as well. Let's get stuck in to episode 10 with Dr. Bill, GK, Shooky, Lotto, KP, Finns, the Dane, and Big Al.
Okay. Welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you're watching or listening. Welcome to the Goalkeeper Roundtable. We have a panel of college goalkeepers. Given the circumstances surrounding college soccer, I thought it would be nice to have somebody else's thoughts besides ourselves, our own reflections on it, because we're obviously impacted on it, but not as the players are. So I think it's important to get these players' thoughts and reflections of being a goalkeeper during a season that has been dramatically, a year that has been dramatically altered by situations, okay? So I'll ask them to introduce yourselves. When you guys introduce yourselves, just give us your name, your year, and your university, okay? So Kristen, go ahead.
All right, I'm Kristen Page. I'm going to be a senior this year, and I play at Adrian College.
Okay, thanks. Alex?
I'm Alex Struvo. I'll be a junior this fall, and I play at Ball State University.
Okay, Owen?
Hi, I'm Owen Finnerty. I go to the University of Michigan, and I'll be a sophomore this year.
Okay. Jens, can you go ahead and give us your name?
My name is Jens Bergendorf, and I'm the starting goalkeeper at Wingate University. Sorry, could you just ask the question again? I'm just having some connection issues, so I didn't really hear the question.
Sure. What year are you?
I'm 2000. I'm sophomore. This is okay. My second year.
Great, great, good. Okay, so we'll start throwing questions at you guys. What were you guys able to do over the summer in terms of your training and preparation?
I'm really sorry. It's lacking a lot. I can't hear what you're saying.
I'm not sure, Jens, what the issue is. Try it again on your end to up it. I'm not muted, so give yourself another shot, okay? I'll throw this out, Jens, while you try and repair your damages, and we'll go from here. But given, you know...
All right, fair enough. Thank you.
There we go. Okay, given what situation was like over the summer, how did you guys go about training, preparing, in anticipation for the fall season? How was your training like over the summer? Somebody goes, Owen, go ahead.
Yeah, so over the summer, you know, obviously a lot of the USL2 teams and the summer teams were shut down or postponed. I'm playing with NRFC, with Coach Chuck over there. And, you know, I was excited for that. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, but, you know, just tried to do a lot of individual training, a lot of fitness, a lot of working out. You know, as goalkeepers know, we're used to kind of training on our own and doing that kind of stuff. So just trying to stay positive and get ready for the season. If we had it, we didn't really know. So, you know, just trying to train as hard as we could without teams, but yeah. A lot of individual stuff.
Okay. No, I think that's a good point that you made about goalkeepers being able to do work on their own. That's a good – that was a plus, actually, for goalkeepers. Kristen?
Yeah, so I actually played with the North Oakland Soccer Company this summer, and we were able to train twice a week as a group. And then I was able to train with Shook a couple times, and then, again, fitness and everything like that with our fitness packet that we got.
Okay, Kristen, define group. You said you were able to train with a group. What is the group?
Yeah, so we had almost our entire team show up from last year, and we practiced twice a week. And
any restrictions in terms of, like, tackling or competing? Could you just play like you normally would?
Yeah, we played like we normally would. We had to wear a mask when we entered the facility and we exited, but while we were together, we didn't have to.
Oh, okay, good, good. Alex, anything different?
Basically, I played with Cork County FC for the scrimmages that we had and the training that we were able to do. I trained with Shook for a couple day long days that they had extremely long training sessions just to get the most out of the cut out of those 4 hours or however long it was. But yeah, for me, fitness is something that I've struggled with over the past couple of years. So I was able to like focus more on that over the quarantine. I was able to, we have a treadmill at my house and a bike. So that was something I took advantage of at my house. So
good, good. Lotta, what you got?
Yeah, just for the three of them, obviously we get goalkeepers that are playing collegiately and playing at a good level. So there's a certain amount of intrinsic motivation that's already involved with this group. But from that side, do any of you ever have doubts at some point to thinking, are we going to have a season? Are we not going to have a season? How do you handle that sort of inner monologue? I know there had to be some of it, and you may have been getting different messages from your coaches, but how do you handle that? For example, out here in California, all the Division II California schools, I say Division II, but all the schools in the CCAA, which is all the, you know, San Francisco State, Sonoma State, Cal Poly, Cal State LA,
yeah,
their season just – back in May, they stopped. They said, no way, we're not going to play. So they already knew ahead of time. So, and I work with a goalkeeper from one of those schools. So even though it was hard, he had a different target. So how do you guys handle that aspect of it?
Yeah, Alex, what do you got?
Our coaches basically just said, don't lose the motivation. Our AD had told them, like, stop, like, don't stop scheduling your games because we're going to be optimistic and be able to keep pushing to have the season, obviously. And when it got postponed, I think a lot of us had a little bit of a motivation drop. We're like, holy crap, like all that work we just did all of quarantine or all of summer might have gone down the drain. But I think in myself, I didn't get the most playing time that I've wanted over the past 2 years. So that was almost – and there was a girl ahead of me who had just left and moved on. So that was something that I was like, this is my shot. So I have to not give up on this work, like working out like crazy. I got to keep going so that I can get my shot if it does happen. So
good. Good. Owen, you want to add something?
Yeah, just a quick point. You know, obviously it was tough, like Alex said, to, you know, you just got to stay positive. And, you know, the coaches were definitely telling us, you know, the whole time, like, you know, don't treat it any differently. You know, try to mentally just treat it like a normal season because we don't really know what's going to happen. And, you know, I think it was important to, while you're training, to not be discouraged because, you know, you got to just stay positive when you're training and just treat it as if, you know, you're moving on this season of playing. So I think it was just trying to stay positive and do the best we could.
Good, good. I actually spoke with Anson Dorrance at North Carolina. Anson and I go way back, and I asked him about, you know, what are you going to tell your team, especially when they all got sent home? He said, well, we told him that teams are going to fall into one of three groups. You're either going to get worse, you're going to be about the same, or you're going to get better. And you need to do everything you can to make sure that you fall into that, that we fall into that top group of teams that will get better during that layoff. Given that, now, what's the status of how your teams are training now? What kind of training is going on? I'll tell you, first off, give us the status of your season and what you're looking for, and then what is your team doing now, okay? Jens, good.
I'm the vice captain for my team. So basically right now we're doing captain's practice only. And we have some talk with the coaches. We had a talk with the teams, and we talked about what are we going to get out of the season now the games are not here. And we'll treat this as if it was a preseason until the real season. So we're going to train hard. We will focus on just like getting as much practice in as possible. And we already started now with 4 practices a week. So we go Monday, Tuesday, we go Thursday, Friday. And then we have an intramural game or something in the weekend where we play 8v8 or 6v6 Saturday. So we're just trying to get a good start and get a lot of fitness in and get a lot of practice in and just, yeah, have a lot of practice now where we can play any games.
Yeah. I'm going to assume if anybody else, are you playing like restricted scrimmages or exhibition games, kind of like non-traditional contests? Yeah. Kristen.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Kristen.
So we're also 4 times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. We actually train in pods of 10. Because our school is doing a 2-week introduction, you know, phase, like return to play contact. So all of our practices are non-contact at the moment. And but we don't have any games in the fall planned. We're supposed to play in the spring, but our national tournament got canceled, so we don't have a national tournament this year, which is very disappointing.
Yeah,
but that's where we're at right now.
Okay. I think a lot of people don't know. Yeah, George. A lot of people won't know because again, if the fall becomes the spring, you know, we have national championships in the spring. Do you treat the fall as a spring, and do you know, with the exhibition games, kind of like what Jens was talking about? And then the spring becomes the competitive season, as the NCAA refers to it. George?
No, I was just very curious to some of the others, like Alex, Owen, or Jens, because in Connecticut, we also had to do a phased-in approach, from 0 to 1 to 2, and, each week after 2. Other universities, Alex, or Owen, or Jens? Or can you guys just play?
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
So basically, there was an option. We were supposed to start the preseason August 3rd. And then so some of our internationals had come back prepared for that. But then they had to cancel their flights and then rebook them for the 17th when they pushed our season back to September 3rd. And so there's, I think, four girls that are here that are tested and they're cleared to play. Or not cleared to play, but cleared to use the facilities. So those four are the only ones on our team allowed to use the weight room or our field because that's technically like university property and they are keeping it to a minimum. But then a bunch of us are starting to filter in now and move back into our houses or apartments. And they basically told us that if we want to work out, we're going to have to, in the facility, we have to wait until after the first week of school. So we start next Monday. So that'll be when we can start phasing back into the weight rooms. But right now, I know a couple of the girls, because there's 10 girls in my class, so a lot of the girls are coming back, and we're literally just going to an open field, and we're walking out yards and marking it with shoes or marking it with speakers, and we're doing sprints, and we're shooting. We're kind of just doing our own thing now, trying to make sure we stay in shape so when we start practicing again or whatever for our 8 hours of our first week, we'll be ready for that. But it's kind of different because right now, normally you'd be conditioning and doing whatever, but.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's great.
Lotto, you had a question for me?
No, I think we're going to see a lot of similarities, but maybe some differences in terms of, our goalkeepers here, whether D1, D2, D3, and I'm at the junior college level. We have a great program, and we have great staff, and we are working on being able to get – classes started today. Everything is remote learning, is online, but we're going to be able to get our athletes – theoretically right now at the middle of September to come back. And I think either Alex or Kristen said it, we're going to have to start out working in pods, pods of 10. Actually, we'll have pods of 12. If we're safe through that for a couple of weeks, we'll be able to come out of that and go into, sharing equipment, sharing a ball. But the idea is now, and I think Bill and I probably have talked about this a little bit on the podcast, is the sort of the mental side of it. We want to get our guys back together. Mainly, they need each other. They need each other. The motivation goes up and down. And Alex said it too. Once you find out your season's over for the fall, there's a big drop off. And we saw that. And now we have a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So different situations for everybody.
Yeah, Jeff, did you have something to?
Yeah, for Kristen, Owen, and for Jens, now that you three are actually back on campus and training with your teams, how often are you being tested? Are you being tested? And how are you being tested?
Go ahead, Owen, and get to Jens. Go ahead, Owen.
Yeah. So we started training for our preseason. If we're gonna have a normal season, we're gonna start getting tested twice a week once the season started. And during preseason, it'll be once a week. So as of right now, moving through the whole fall, we'll be getting tested once a week. They're still trying to finalize that testing protocol. But we'll be getting a lot of tests done, so we're able to train as a team. So that'll be very nice to kind of get tested and make sure we're doing the right things as a team. So it's definitely been good to know that we can get tested. It helps with the hospital right here at the university. So that helps a lot with testing. So we're blessed with that over here to have that. That's allowed us to train 5 times a week in the mornings as if it's a normal preseason almost. So we've been able to do that, which is good.
Jens, how about you?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure about the testing system and how often we will get tested. But I know that our athletic trainers, they made an app. So every day before we go to practice, we have to go into that app. There will be 7 questions. You'll have to answer whether you have like any cough, if you're feeling bad, or if you have any of the symptoms related to Corona. And if you have any of them, you're not allowed to train. You'll be tested and they'll figure out if you have to go in quarantine and stuff like that. But I'm not 100% sure how the rule is going to be once we really start our practice with the coaches and stuff, because right now it's only captain's practice. So technically the coaches doesn't really know about it. It's more like there's the captains are taking responsibility for getting the guys out there in practice. But I'm not sure how the rule is going to be when we start up here September 1st. But I think it's going to be pretty similar to what they do at Owen's place.
Okay, Owen, do you want to add something?
Yeah, just to add on to that, similar to Jens, we have when we go to training, we have to do a similar survey as that, and then we have to check in and get our temperature checked actually every morning. So it's actually been, you know, great here, and the process has been thought through. So it's definitely been positive here.
Yeah, Kristen, go ahead.
So our plan was every game week we would get tested on Monday, so we'd have our results by Wednesday. But now that we're not really sure we're having games in the fall, we don't know when we're going to get tested again. So it's basically we have an app we have to fill out. We get our temperature checked, and that's about it. But if anybody has any symptoms, they're not allowed to practice. They're not allowed to come until one of our trainers goes and checks them out. So that's where we're at.
George, what you got for me?
I'm curious about, again, being a coach, you know, from volunteer all the way to a head coach, I know the importance of leadership. And I'm just curious about how you guys have approached it from a leadership standpoint. I mean, Kristen, you're a senior, so I'm sure you've seen the growth in the program, you've seen the growth in yourself. And I'm just wondering about not just the training aspect, also what's going on off the field and how you guys are policing it. How are you guys managing to keep yourself engaged and focused?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm a captain this year, I live with 2 other captains as well. I have 5 girls in my apartment. So it was nice to get back with them, but it's difficult because you're not allowed to hang out with anybody that's not in your pod. And only one other of my roommates in my pod, so I can only hang out with her technically. But it's hard for our freshmen, you know, like they're coming in, they don't know anyone, and they're in the dorms and things happen in the dorms. So we're like, you have to be careful, you know? So, but getting out on the field and being back with them and making sure that, you know, they're staying focused and, you know, as you know, I've seen the program grow, like, as you said, and we had high expectations this year and we're going to make sure that we keep them, even if we don't have our end goal, that was taken away. But, you know, every day we're getting after it and we're happy to be here. You know, we're happy to be training. We're happy to be back with each other. So.
Good. Thanks. Alex.
So, I mean, like I said before, like, not a lot of us are here, but we have over quarantine, we kind of were in small groups. Our coaches assigned us into these different kind of subgroups, I guess, and then even smaller groups within those bigger groups. So each group has like 3 freshmen and you guys, like, you just meet and you talk about what you've been doing to stay in shape and even just on, you know, like day-to-day basis, what have you been doing to keep busy? And then we also have been doing like weekly psych meetings with one of us, grad student psychology major. And he comes in and just basically says like, how are you guys staying positive? Because it is a bummer. Everyone was looking forward to being a season in the fall, but like, what are you doing to stay positive? Because a lot of people's exit or their stress reliever is soccer. So like, what are you guys doing to stay positive? So I think those kind of, you can say something negative and he'll be like, hey, turn it around, make it positive. What are you going to do that's going to make it positive? So it's something that I guess is comforting for us and comforting for our incoming freshmen. So
it'll be a great story to tell you kids. we should probably ask, what's the status of you regarding school? I mean, how many people have had, you know, classes back, students, you know, the remaining student body, the rest of the student body back on campus? What's the status of each of your universities, each of your settings? Alex?
So partly were some of my classes. So I was taking 18 credits this semester. And so I have 4 online and then I have 2 in person. So it just depends on the class size. But my advisor said that she went walking around the academic buildings and some of the classrooms are limited to 6 people. So the odds of that actually happening with a big like lecture core class like History 150 or something is not really logical. So I'm assuming that those kind of classes are going to be cut down or like just canceled with online, because I know majority of mine are.
Yes, converted to online. Jens?
Yeah, basically, I think our school have the same systems. So let's say I have a class with 2 credits. I have it Monday morning and Wednesday morning. I think they're going to split the class into 2 groups. So one group have in-face classes Monday, and then you have online classes on Wednesdays. So yeah, I think it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. Go ahead, Owen, and then we'll get to Chris. Go ahead, Owen.
So our classes here are majority online. I'd say about 75% online. And then there's some labs in person, depending on the major that you have. For me, it's kind of a mix. A lot of my classes are hybrid as well. So there'll be some online and some person aspects to both those things. So it's kind of similar to the other guys.
Okay, Kristen?
So I'm all in person. I went and checked today, and all classes are still in person. And so we're going to roll with it.
Okay, good luck with it. I'm at, in transparency, I'm at Wingate as well as Jens, and so I know that a lot of faculty have gone to, okay, you know, they divide a class into A and a B group, and A is in person and B is online on Monday and on Wednesday. B is in person and A is online, and Zoom, using Zoom that way. The other thing is, and this is, be careful how you answer this, but I don't know, again, I've been associated with the University of North Carolina, and they have their athletes back on campus. However, they just had 4 real outbreaks of COVID on campus. 3 are associated with dormitories, and 1 is associated with the frat, and they all tend to, without coming out and saying, okay, yeah, it was these big, you know, parties. But how do you anticipate your school and your program handling the social aspects of college? Again, be careful how you answer, but go ahead. Jens, go ahead.
Well, yeah, obviously, this is a difficult question because, like, that's a big part of college life as well for many of us. But we had a serious talk within the team and the group of the boys, and we said that we're going to be really careful this year. We're gonna try to limit the partying and the social arrangements and stuff like that. Keep it down because as a co-social, she don't want us to get into any problems. She don't want the program to get any problems. So we're gonna keep it down, and we're gonna focus some more on sports and on school, and then the parties and the social arrangement stuff that can wait to another time, because right now it's just we got sent an article from our coach saying that 3 guys from Louisville. Some football club in Louisville had a party, and they got coronavirus, and he didn't want us to get involved in any of that stuff. So we just told the younger guys and freshmen coming in that it's going to be way different this year. There's not going to be as much partying and stuff. So it's going to be different, and they just have to adapt to that.
Yeah. That Louisville incident, I believe the players were, tossed from the team. They were just dropped.
Good.
Anything else people want to add? Again, it's a kind of a loaded question. So, Lotto.
And I think this goes
back,
back
on your partying, Lotto. Oh,
you know me, Billy. I think part of this goes back to a little bit of the intrinsic motivation and, you know, what kind of leaders do we have here in our 4 goalkeepers. You can lead by example. You can talk to your teammates, you know, and I think we have a range of ages and classes that they're in. But I think as intrinsically motivated athletes, there's a certain amount of, I want to take care of myself to be a better athlete. But there's also a certain amount of responsibility that goes with, well, being part of a team. But I've always felt as a goalkeeper and a goalkeeping educator that our goalkeepers, I like to, and George knows this because he played for me, to hold them at a little higher standard in terms of that, and taking responsibility, like I said, for yourself, but also the care of the rest of your team. And maybe you only care about your center backs or your back 3 or your back 4, but we should care about everybody else too. So I think there's some responsibility that goes into being a very good teammate, but also being just a good person in general.
George.
again, playing for Lotto and playing for Sosh. I mean, prior to them showing up, I mean, we were a 500 team, and it took, you know, the approach and the discipline that was instilled by someone like Sosh. But one thing that he did preach, and it was tough. I mean, he wanted us to be abstinent. Like, he was just like, no partying. You know, he's just like, is it in line with what we want to accomplish? And as much as that sacrifice, you know, sounded just like, oh my God, are you kidding me? What kind of came out of it was we were all dialed in to do whatever it took to be successful. But if we decided to party, and it was very rare that year, we did it together. It had to be that we were going to do it as a group, as a team, and it wasn't guys just breaking off, because years past, it was constantly just guys breaking off, not being self-disciplined enough, putting themselves before the team. So, again, is the sacrifice worth it? Is it for, are your actions in line with your goals? And for us, we wanted to be winners. We wanted to prove it to ourselves. So,
George, and I think we talked about it as not being so much sacrifice, but about being investment. You know, it was an investment in yourself and an investment in the team. Nothing sacrificed. It's only investment.
No, absolutely. Totally correct.
Jens wanted to add something, I believe.
Yeah, I just wanted to add about the whole partying situation and stuff like that, that I completely agree with you guys. I think it should be like, if you decide to have a party, you decide to do something as a team, you should do it as the whole team. For instance, our last season, we went all the way and won the conference tournament. And until then, we didn't have any parties. We were like, the players aren't allowed to go out from themselves in the weekend. If we go out, we go out as a group. So after that game, we won the conference championship. We had a party as a team. The next day, everybody was focused on the next goal, the Nationals, and there wasn't any parties from that instance on. I think it's important that the whole team is on the same page. For instance, this season we had three guys just coming out of the quarantine after coming here. They were bored, so they decided, yeah, let's go to Charlotte, let's go to a pub. I mean, stuff like that can just jeopardize the whole season, can just risk all the other guys' practice and stuff like that. So we just had me and the captain, Owen, we just have to tell them right away that this can't happen. We need to be on the same page. There's no more partying. There's no more going to pubs in Charlotte at night without wearing a mask. This needs to end now. Like, we need to make some consequences, because these times are, like, strange.
Yeah. Jeff, I'll get to you in a sec. But Jens also, what did you have to do in terms of returning to the U.S.? Because Jens is Danish, and so what was your procedure? Because that's another commitment on your part.
Oh, it was a strange part. I was back home, and like, we got all this news back home. One day we couldn't go back. The next day, they suddenly opened up the country. And 2 days later, I was on a plane over here with a bag full of documents showing that I had classes and I had my visa and I had all sorts of stuff saying that I could get into the United States. It was a weird period of time, and when I got to the States, I had to be in quarantine for 14 days. Luckily for me, I could get tested after 7 days, and my test was negative, so I could start working out again and stuff like that. But besides that, it was a weird process.
Yeah, that's pretty good commitment. Jeff?
I was just curious, with the variety of ages of the goalkeepers here, have you put any thought into the long term? Now, Kristen, you may not have a final season in your career, and I know Owen and Alex personally. Have you thought about what this means with your PDL, USL, or UWSL season next year, where you may actually play 12 straight months without a break, going, if you have a spring college, summer USL season, and then right back into a Big Ten season? Have you thought about that?
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, obviously that's a lot on your mind always, you know, what's going to happen the next year. You know, obviously this next year is going to be different than any year in the past, and probably different than any of us probably can imagine it right now. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, you want to think about it, but at the same time, you don't want to overthink about it. Don't want to try to make plans, because, you know, you don't want to try to plan ahead and that gets shot down. So I think definitely just staying positive and staying motivated and making sure that you're training to better yourself, because no matter what, you know, we're going to play again. And when we play again, it's, you want to have your level raised for when that happens. So I think it's not about, you know, thinking, you know, where am I going to play or how I'm going to play. It's, you know, you're going to play, and when you're going to play, that's when you just know you have to be better from the moment, from now till then. So I think that's what I mainly focus on.
Fair point. Alex. Yeah.
I know Owen played Academy because I played for the Hawks as well as the same club, but I know I was so used to playing like months on end, like never stopping when playing club soccer. Like the Hawks played in the fall, they trained hard in the winter, they went again in the spring, and then we had nationals in the summer. So, I mean, it's almost kind of, not to relate it because it's not the same, but at the same time, it's like all year round soccer. And I personally enjoy it. It keeps me busy and it kept me in shape. So, and having an end season in the spring and then going straight into playing with Corchon again or whatever ends up happening in the summer and then having again in the fall, I think that's almost better because you don't ever have a plateau. Like, you'll just keep getting better as you keep going on.
Let me ask you guys something about now that your falls are different than what they were just a few months ago. Has your focus changed in terms of what you're trying to get out of the fall? In other words, if I felt I was weak in a certain area, I wasn't worried about it, but I was more focused on we've got games. I want to be good in these games. But now that your season's been postponed, has anybody's focus changed? Jens?
Yeah, my focus obviously changed because when we're in the season, we have two, sometimes three games a week. So all you really do in a season is taking care of your body, make sure you recover during the next game. When we have maybe two, three goalkeeper sessions a week, the only thing we really focus on is just to get ready to the game, have a game preparing practice. So you can't really focus that much on technical stuff during the season, where now we're off season, we have plenty of time to recover. We don't have any games to worry about. We can go four sessions a week, goalkeeper practice, and we can really, really focus on the technical stuff. We can get a video camera out there. We can film. We can go through stuff afterwards. We can really go into specifics and see what we can change in order to become better. I like this as an opportunity to increase my technical level and also my physical level as well. I can do some more strength conditioning training without worrying about not being able to play games in the weekends.
Good. Anyone else? Okay. Good. George, you had something for us. George, go ahead.
Yeah, it ties into, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so this ties into, I think, a little bit to what Jens was talking about. But for me, I know when I sat down with my goalkeeper coach or my head coach, we looked to establish some type of personal goals. And I know now that you've been served up this massive curveball, have your personal goals changed? Have you modified them? I mean, obviously, this is all different. So that's the first question. And then on the second piece, have your team goals changed? Like Kristen, you talked about you guys are, you're an experienced team. You probably had high expectations. So those are my two questions. Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
See how it's gone.
So our team did PDPs, like player development programs, and you had your goals set, and I know one of my goals was because we had a new coach last fall, and he changed the fitness test. So I was like, I need to pass this fitness test, and I'm going to get in shape for this. So now that's in the long term, because I'm not sure when that's going to come into play. So now I'm just more focused on not just passing the fitness test, but like bypassing it. So I'm even better at that because I have so much time on my hands to get better at it. So now it's not crunched up. I have time to like progress, and rather than having to rush in the 3 months that normally you would have.
Okay, good. Kristen, go ahead.
Yeah, so personally, we all had high expectations for our team, and individually I had myself with very high goals, but it's still kind of the same. It's still like we're playing like we want to win everything, even though, the big thing that we won was the NCAA tournament, and that was canceled, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and that was a disappointment for all of us. It was a disappointment for my seniors. It was a disappointment for my coach and the rest of us. But, we're still playing for that MIAA championship where we were champions last year. We want to win it again. So it's more or less just readjusting our goals. And we know the end now, but we know it's the end, but we're still playing for a championship here. That's the mentality.
Good.
Oh, the mentality.
Yeah, I would say for us, it was a big deal that we decided to, you know, as a team and my coaches and players to really treat the season as, you know, go through our season as if we had a season and use the motivation to, you know, to better ourselves individually, especially technically, like Jens was saying, to especially as goalkeepers, right? We can afford to have hard sessions and not worry about recovering for the weekend games, and we can, you know, work on our technical ability more and not as much in game prep, and work more on, you know, little things in our game rather than, you know, focusing on all game, on game time. So I think that obviously it changed a little bit with, you know, what we think as goalkeepers mentally from the technical side of it. We can treat it as almost an off season or a spring season. But I think as a team, it almost feels as if we're treating it very similar to a regular season and trying to stay motivated as much as we can to train. So.
Good. Jens.
Yeah. Like personally for me, this is going to be like a mental challenge because as told, I come from Denmark. Like last spring was my first spring season ever. I've never tried going 6 months without having any sorts of games. And now we're having two spring seasons in top of each other. So I'll be almost a year without a game and I'm fully physical capable of playing. I'm not injured. I'm not anything. So it's going to be hard to go through these months without playing any games. So it's going to be a mental challenge. And plus my team lost a couple of players as well who decided to go home because they wanted to play games and stuff. So it's going to be very important for the team, like in total, to just keep the focus and just have this off season as not an off season, but as a preseason until the next season. So we really just have to work with the new team and the new freshmen who's coming in as well.
Good. No, those were great thoughts from you all. I really appreciate hearing that. I'll tell you what, let's take a break from COVID if we could, just to give you guys something a little bit less, I don't know, down to talk about. But as you transition to college soccer, okay, now obviously you come from different backgrounds, some similar, some a little bit more dissimilar. What were some of the changes or some of the things about college soccer that you would tell a young goalkeeper preparing to go to college soccer? Hey, you need to do this. You need to get ready for this. The game will be like this. Okay, Alex, go ahead.
So I came in and, well, even being recruited, I got told that I was too small to play. I am 5'5". I was too small to play goalkeeper and that I couldn't play college soccer. I think I always tell people, like, not to give up no matter what. I mean, like, I know we have the downtown, but, like, don't let someone tell you that you're too small to do it. You know, prove them wrong. Because I had college coaches say, I don't know if this is the level for you. And I'm like, no, this is the level for me, and I'm going to make it happen. So I think that I really think that
the small goalkeepers in the crowd are applauding.
Yeah, I think that one thing is never let someone tell you you can't do it. You know, prove them wrong.
Good.
I love it, Alex. Love it.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as Alex. I'm definitely smaller to be a goalkeeper, but mine is control the controllables. You know, follow the fitness packet, make sure you're in shape, put yourself in the best position you can to when you walk in day one, you're the best goalkeeper you are on day one. You know, don't come in with any doubts, but that's mine. Control the controllables.
Control the controllables. Like that. I like that. Good.
Bill likes that one.
Yeah.
And, I would say, you know, definitely coming in to come in fit and come in prepared and to, you know, give yourself the best opportunity to showcase your best self. You don't want to look back and think, man, I could have done this over the summer, you know, coming in. I think pushing yourself that summer before you come in, especially, is a huge 3-4 months.
I could just really go downstairs
yourself for a high level.
I don't know.
So I think that's, if I were to give advice to anyone, it would be to use those summer months for, you know, use them for good. Don't waste them. Those are big months for you as a player.
Good. All right.
Owen sounds like he's been hanging around Shaka Daly and Jeff Shook a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Good. Well, you guys have been very frank and upfront in expressing your ideas and your thoughts and reflections on this very odd year very well. I'll give you guys a kind of like an open forum now. Anything that you would tell people about what's going to happen for your team, for your club, or for other goalkeepers that may be listening in? Okay, good. We'll go with that. I'll throw it to Jeff, Dave, and George. Anything that you guys want to ask these people?
I'm going to ask a question that has nothing to do with COVID. You have to be honest, right? And this, so the question is, what is your favorite goalkeeping glove? And it doesn't have to be the glove that your team sponsor makes you wear. So it can be something different.
Okay, so glove. Alex, you had your hand up real quick, Alex.
Yeah, go ahead. I love West Coast gloves. They're my favorite. I wore West them Coast. All throughout club soccer, and then I even wore them part of my freshman year here. And then finally my dad said, you get free gloves unless you want to pay for them yourself. I'm not buying gloves anymore. So I said, I will wear Nike, but I love West Coast, yes.
Okay. I'll tell you a quick George Costellas, and I think I told this to the guys earlier.
Stealing my story. George, I love it.
George, we were an Adidas team. We won, I think we either won a big game or won a conference championship, and there's a picture of George, big picture of George, on the front page of the newspaper, putting up the number one sign with the back of his glove, and it's not an Adidas glove. We got a call the next morning from the Adidas rep. What the F is blah, blah, blah. So I go, George, just put tape over your gloves.
No, anyway. I was at the University of Oregon with Nike. It's like that. Yeah. Jens, go ahead.
Billy, you'll be proud of me though. Ready? It was the Umbro web that I was wearing. Remember the Umbro web?
Yeah, the web.
The Umbro web, man. Davis. You showed me that glove. Yeah.
Oh, I got Richard Davis gave me the prototypes of those before they were produced. And they were he got them from somewhere and then he shared the web design and they took off for a while. They took off for a while. Jens, go ahead. What did you have?
My favorite one is the new Puma, the new One Grip Hybrid. I really like it. I really like the fit. It's really, really, really tight, almost like the Adidas, which I prefer as well. The new Puma, definitely.
Ah, okay. Good,
only
good.
Only a guy from Denmark would say Puma.
The U.S. yeah, it's Puma.
Ah, Puma. All right.
No, you were good. We like it.
Owen, what do you have?
Yeah, no, ironically, I have to say Nike is my favorite glove personally. Not because I'm being told to say that, but, honestly, I played them in high school. I played with a bunch of gloves in high school with Adidas, Nike, Sturelli. I played with, a number of different companies to try out, but I always went back to Nike. And I think coming here and playing at Michigan, Nike's kind of thrown at you, but playing here, it kind of grew on me a bit even more. And I guess once you get used to something, I think it's hard to go away from it. So I think Nike's always been my go-to.
It's probably true. You do get. I kind of like, I wear Nike shoes all the time now because I had so many of them.
Chris, did you have one?
Yeah, I'm a West Coast girl.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, the West Coast. Right.
I'm going to tag West
Coast. West Coast, is that a brand?
Yeah. Yes. West Coast is a brand.
It is a brand.
Sorry, I've never heard of it. I'm from Europe.
No, it's quite all right. Yeah, Jens, I'm very curious because I coached Freddie Duway, who's now with Orange County, and he came from Denmark. And
yeah, I know that guy.
He was all about Select.
Oh, Select?
You like the Select glove.
To be my brutal honest opinion, I hate the Select glove. But it's like the number one Danish glove. Like every single club in Denmark gives out Select gloves for free to all their goalkeepers. So they have they're sponsoring every single club in Denmark. I don't like them. I think it's a terrible glove, to be honest. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of Danish goalkeepers fancy it. A lot of Scandinavians as well, Swedish goalkeepers, Norwegian goalkeepers. It's a decent glove. I just don't like the fit personally, but I don't like.
That's okay. All right. Jeff, George, Dave, anything else for these young people before we let them go?
No, I'd just like to thank them for coming on today on the short notice. Owen, I really missed the opportunity to coach you this summer in the USL. Alex, it was great meeting you this summer in the UWSL. And Kristen, who I've been working with, I think, 10, 11 years. I can't even remember how long. So thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, I'll just echo that. I know George and Dave will as well, but I'll just say we appreciate you guys. You've been outstanding in terms of your responses and information, and I hope, you know, again, a lot of young people and a lot of coaches listen in just to hear your thoughts and your reflections on going through such an odd year. George?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, being a player and then eventually being privileged enough to move into the coaching ranks, you know, spending over 20 years of my coaching career in the college game, I've always, one of my major motivations was to keep perspective and say, what's in the best interest of the student athletes? And what I've always appreciated as a coach is, you know, you guys as student athletes taking ownership and just being on this podcast and hearing you and hearing about your motivations and how you've modified personal goals and how you're approaching this upcoming season. I mean, I tip my hat. I wish you guys nothing but the best, and thank you on behalf of the round table for coming out today.
Yeah, great, great. You have four new people following your, well, Jeff's already following some of them, but four other coaches following your clubs and supporting you all, okay? Great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
No, great. We appreciate it. Good session, and we'll talk to you later. Okay, hang on a sec, because I'm...
We hope you enjoyed that episode at the Goalkeeper Roundtable. If you'd like to reach out with suggestions, comments, or questions, all of our email addresses are available in the show description. If you like the show, we'd love for you to subscribe to it, but also share it in social media platforms or with any other goalkeeper or coach who may find value in it. We hope you turn in to the next Goalkeeper Roundtable.